Thanks for listening to The Green. I'm Eli Chen. This past April, Delaware Public Media joined a new reporting initiative called I See Change, where we're asking you to tell us what changes you see in your local environment, whether that's the garden in your backyard, the waters that you fish or surf in, or hiking trails where you go bird watching. We take your questions on what you're seeing, and we post them to scientists to explain what might be behind what you're seeing. And some of you listening in may have been wondering, what's the point? Why should I participate? I jumped on the phone with the reporter who started I See Change, Julia Kamari Drapkin, who called in from her home in New Orleans to talk about why she started the project.
Well, I had been a climate and science reporter for many years, and I was living in DC, and I kept hearing stories about, you know, unusual weather, and people would be asking about, like, you know, hey, is it me or is this climate change? Is this, you know, is this something that we've never seen before? And very rarely was that kind of a perspective being brought into the mainstream news at that time. And, you know, I thought about it, and I'm a radio reporter, so I love structure. And I realized there was a structural problem to the way we were handling things. Most climate and science stories are a top-down structure. Usually the whole process begins with the scientist. The scientist is making observations and asks a question. They answer their question with research. They publish a paper. I get the Eureka alert, or some sort of notification that a good paper has popped into the world, and then I do a story about it. I interview the scientist, and if I have time, I'll go and get a local anecdote from my community to say, this is something that's important to you. And I rarely do have that time in the mainstream news. So I said, okay, well, what can we do structurally to change this dynamic? What if we provided a place for communities to make observations, to take notes every day, and to ask questions about what they're seeing change, and I'll match them to a scientist. And we'll have a conversation about what that change is about. The scientist can talk to that person like they would talk to someone at the post office, or at the supermarket, or at the dinner table, and just really just lay out, this is what I think is happening.
And KVNF in Colorado was your pilot station. So tell me about your experience starting the project there.
Yeah, well, you know, again, I was living in DC at the time, had this idea on the back of a napkin, and got funding from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting through the Association for Independence in Radio. They had a project initiative called Local Lore to reinvent public media in the 21st century, you know. No big deal, right? So they wanted me to go to Western Colorado, to a town of about 2,000 people. So there was a community that lived outside, who paid attention to seasonal change, and who were impacted. As well as being in a mountain area, you start to see not just latitudinal change, but altitudinal change. And this was 2011 when I accepted the assignment, when I decided to do this and move out there. And 2012 proved to be an epic year in terms of climate extremes and extreme weather across the country. We started this just on the radio, just asking people, what are you seeing change? And what's your question for a scientist? That's it. That's all we asked. And we started getting text messages from people saying, hey, you know, flowers are blooming earlier in my yard. Dandelions are Yeah, I've never seen a dandelion bloom this early. We got a text message about drought concerns, and this was in early April of 2012, before the USDA declared a emergency flash drought months later. We got a text from a guy named Doug, who was concerned about wildfires that he was fighting in the snow. And he's like, you know, this is really weird. I've never seen anything like this. I think we're in for a 12-month-long wildfire season. We matched him to a scientist who said, yes, we're seeing that kind of a trend as well. And lo and behold, we had the 2012 wildfire season in Colorado. Record-setting season, devastating for many communities. And we were reporting on that months ahead of mainstream news. So we knew we had not only just a means to have conversations with real people about real impacts that weather and climate, you know, were having on their lives, but an ecological forecasting tool, the ability to start talking about issues before they become major problems.
How exactly does one participate in I See Change?
We try and make it as easy as possible. We have the ICE Change Almanac, which is at icechange.org, where you log in, create a username, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're posting from. And, you know, every week we ask you to just tell us what you've seen change. Did you see something unusual? Did you see something that was just normal but you want to keep track of? And you have a profile page where all of your observations are kept and recorded and archived. You can upload photos. You can upload audio. You can upload just some comment. Just tell us, you know, again, what are you seeing change? What's your question? And I see change producers take a look at that. And then we, you know, assign stories based on what you are observing and what you want to know.
In our latest story about declining moth populations, David Wagner, who studies moths at University of Connecticut, really stressed in our conversation how important citizen monitoring is if we want to better understand the changes we're seeing. Since you first started the project, what kind of feedback have you been getting from scientists?
Very similar to David Wagner's feedback. The first ecological signs of climate change are the timing of events, or, you know, populations that are in, you know, decline or on the rise. So the more eyes we have on the ground monitoring those changes and flagging, hey, you know, this is, I've never seen this before, the more opportunities we have to do better science, to stay ahead of the curve, to look into these things. Scientists really value that kind of monitoring, that kind of data. And, you know, there's different levels in which people participate in citizen science projects. I see change is very much focused on the anomaly. Like, that is where both journalists and scientists are extremely interested. Like, is there merit to what you saw that was weird and that was different that we need to look into more? On the other end, we think of IC Change as an opportunity to help scientists understand where their work and their research can have greater impact. Very rarely do either scientists or journalists turn around to the public and say, hey, what do you want to know? And that's a fundamental flaw in our entire system.
So along with member stations and news organizations, IC Change also has a pretty exciting data partnership with NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory. Talk to me about what that entails.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are partnered with NASA, JPL, and a specific mission called the Orbiting Carbon Observatory Mission. So we're partnered with NASA, JPL, and it's one specific satellite mission, the Orbiting Carbon Observatory Mission. That mission is monitoring global carbon from space. It launched just over a year ago, and we are going to be matching local observations and questions to the data that the satellite is collecting. So the satellite is measuring literally carbon sources and sinks, how the Earth is storing carbon or releasing carbon in any one given place. It's also measuring photosynthesis using a measurement called solar-induced fluorescence. Now, basically, when plants are breathing, they emit light, and that light is visible from space. So as a derivative measurement, the satellite can actually tell you, you know, this is how much plant productivity, this is how much plants are breathing and thriving in your neighborhood. And measure that in terms of energy, in terms of joules. So when you look at the things that people are posting on IC Change, that's actually really relevant because people are telling us about, you know, how plants are blooming in their garden, the birds and the bugs that they're seeing, fire hazards, drought hazards, and then also things that they're seeing on the coastlines, things that are washing up on the shore, whether or not the water is swimmable or not, what the winds are doing. So being able to match this kind of micro data to this big picture satellite information is an incredible opportunity to start to connect the dots, to overcome that problem of scale between that I started the project off addressing in the first place.
Delaware Public Media, as you know, joined IC Change because we know that our listeners really value in-depth reporting on issues having to do with our environment. I received an email actually a couple weeks ago from a listener who referenced a recent sea level rise study that came out of University of Delaware that predicts that 8 to 11% of Delaware will actually be underwater by the end of the century. And he's concerned about what that will mean for his children. So Julia, what are you hoping that Delaware Public Media's participation in the project will add to the IC change narrative?
That's a really great question. And I have to say, we're so excited to have Delaware Public Media be a part of the project, because you all in your community are spearheading, pioneering our coastal coverage of these issues. And we're really excited to hear the stories, the unexpected impacts of changing seas and changing coastal ecosystems, and how those things impact our daily lives. You can have a study and it says, this is how you will be impacted. And those studies come like water and they race across our brains and they really don't have an impact. But when people start to notice, hey, you know what? My beach is eroded way more than I remember it eroding after this storm. I'm concerned that, you know, the sidewalks aren't safe, or the shoreline needs a repair. We start to drill down into the actual impacts that sea level rise and climate change pose. Even if today's storm isn't climate change, we know that maybe that today's storm or a eroding beach is representative of what climate change will be doing to us on a larger scale. So again, connecting those everyday, daily experiences to the bigger picture is how we learn. It's how we start to embrace making decisions. Things that are changing in Delaware that we haven't even thought of. So how are your habits changing? Like, have you bought a new air conditioning? Have you, I heard that you had a festival, I believe the Firefly Festival, that got rained out for the first time in recent memory. You know, how did that impact the local economy? It's the impacts of all of this that we're really, really interested in.
Special thanks to Julia Kamari-Drapkin, founder of the IC Change Project, for her time this week. And as you know, we're heading into our last month of summer. Have you seen something in your backyard or out on the beaches or on your farm that's unusual for this time of the year? What you're seeing could be our next IC Change story, so make sure to post your photos and comments on IC Change. That's ISEEChange.org. Coming up on The Green, Anne Hoffman speaks with Jackie Millod, the new Gretchen Huffel curator at the Delaware Center for Contemporary Art, about art, inclusion, and what it's like to be a woman of color to hold that position. Stay tuned.